It might be a James Bond favorite, but investors aren't too revved up about Aston Martin's stock market debut. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. After receiving a $5.6 billion valuation with a $25 per share price, luxury car maker Aston Martin is bouncing between gains and losses on the London Stock Exchange this morning. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, says the company's past could be giving investors a bit of pause.
Seven bankruptcies in the last 100 years, but there does appear to be some evidence that the company is probably on a fairly decent keel coming off the back of record sales. I mean, obviously there are risks, certainly with respect to the Brexit uncertainty, but the demand has been highest in the UK, it's been highest in the US and the Chinese markets, and they're not necessarily going to be affected by the UK's relationship with the European Union. I think as long as the luxury car market holds up fairly well, then the outlook looks fairly positive. I think it's important, though, to look past the early share price action. When Ferrari floated on the stock exchange in New York in 2015, the share price dropped 40% in the first 6 months. It is now 130% above its IPO price. So we may get a little bit of early selling early on, but ultimately I think it's really a question of whether or not investors believe in the long-term business model.
Michael Hewson there. Let's do the numbers. A report Italy will reduce its budget deficit targets for 2020 and 2021 is boosting both the euro and shares in Milan. Meanwhile, Turkey's currency crisis sent consumer inflation to nearly 25% last month. The country's finance minister said discussions aimed at fighting inflation will begin tomorrow. First Lady Melania Trump is beginning day two of her week-long four-country tour of Africa. The visit comes roughly 9 months after the president was said to have made profane remarks about African nations during a closed-door negotiation over immigration. I asked the BBC's Larry Madowo in Nairobi what the reception has been for Mrs. Trump.
So far, the reception for the First Lady has been of muted interest. Her trip has been described as a humanitarian and diplomatic visit. I don't see the aspects of the diplomatic work as much as it is said to be, because she cannot do any bilateral talks or deals.
Does Melania's trip this week represent a shift in the way the White House is viewing Africa?
It is too early to tell if this will represent a shift. Certainly the US needs to pay a lot more attention to Africa. British Prime Minister Theresa May has been here. Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has been here repeatedly. Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, has been in Africa as well. Even India and Russia and Turkey are paying attention. So Africans have choices now, and they're looking at these options and saying, who is the best for us? And they will go with whoever that is.
So obviously China has a big presence in Africa. Just last month, it pledged $60 billion in investment there. The U.S. obviously has a very contentious economic relationship with China at the moment. So from that point of view, do you think America needs to do more to strengthen its own relations with Africa?
The imports and exports between Africa and the U.S. is $39 billion in 2017. Compare that to China's, which stood at around $188 billion for the same period. So even though the criticisms of the U.S. against China's business in Africa, some of them are completely justified. Some of those deals are predatory, but Africa seems to be warming up to China a lot more than they are to the U.S., at least based on who's building roads, who's building railways, who's building ports here, who's creating jobs in Africa.
Larry Madowo. Now, Nike's partnership with football free agent Colin Kaepernick ignited a firestorm of controversy last month, and it got people talking about how far brands should wade into fierce political and cultural debates like kneeling during the national anthem. The BBC's Ed Butler explores whether polarizing ads are actually the future of branding.
Nike's online sales have grown by nearly a third in the bank holiday weekend after this ad was launched. Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU's Stern School of Business, says Nike has made a brilliant marketing move.
Nike sales are $35 billion. Two-thirds are from consumers under the age of 35. And if you're under the age of 35 and can afford a $150 pair of Nike Flyknit racers, you likely skew towards a higher earner, maybe dwell in a city, which means most likely you lean left. In exchange for potentially alienating 1 to 3 billion of that $35 billion franchise, They strengthen the relationship with 32 to 34 billion.
Nike isn't the only brand that's chosen to align itself with an edgy and political subject. UK-based Lush, a cosmetics company, protested undercover police tactics. It put up store window displays with a mock-up of a police officer in and out of uniform using the tagline, "Paid to lie." It admits it's gone too far and has made mistakes, but ethics director Hilary Jones says heartfelt campaigns unrelated to its company's core business are not about to stop.
Surprisingly, it put sales up. I would hope that what it was our customers standing by us.
Do you think we are living in an era, perhaps, where it's allowed for corporate bodies and entities to take a stand that is more overtly controversial?
Younger people care about the things they care about. They're used to exchanging information, and I think they want brands to be part of that.
So getting into trouble is a measure of you doing the right job?
I think getting into trouble is a measure of we can't stop ourselves even when we know it's going to get us into trouble.
Nike and Lush are just two firms. Many others are far less controversial, of course, but perhaps it's a sign of the times that in the Twitter age, people are more willing to embrace brands that don't mind upsetting customers.
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
Ed Butler reporting there. Speaking of controversial ads, Costa Coffee is under fire after urging customers to buy bacon rolls over avocados. Angry consumers say the ad discourages people from reaching for fresh fruit. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.